If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 again this morning, please. And as you turn, it is a year of encounter. You know, several of us have already had some new experiences or some fresh experiences with the Lord this year. And guess what? There's more. How many of you know there's more? Hallelujah. Glory to God. God's still moving, still pouring out of His Spirit. And I'm ready to flow with Him. How about you? So 1 Corinthians 13, as we stand in honor of the Word today. 1 Corinthians 13, in the last verse of that chapter. And now faith, now abideth faith, hope, and charity, or love. These three, but the greatest of these is charity or love. And we preached about that earlier in the month. And we can, the gifts operate through love, don't they? Our ministries operate through love. And then if you turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 as well. Romans chapter 5 and 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Excuse me. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. How many of you are glad the Holy Ghost has made Jesus real in our lives? Amen. How many of you hear Jesus is real in your heart and your life? Father, we thank You for that today. We thank You for Your wonderful Word. We thank You, Lord, for the Word that just continues to speak to us. And again, that this Word never changes, but will continue to change us. We yield to the presence and power of the Spirit and to the Word that's being spoken today. That God, You would have Your way in each of us, and we give You glory. And everyone said, amen. And amen. You can be seated. Hope never disappoints. Hope never disappoints. We began on February 5th. We began on February 5th with the message, more than words. Love is more than words, isn't it? Matter of fact, when you say, I love you, remember, you have just placed a demand on love. When you tell somebody, I love you, then you have to show that love because you place a demand on that. Last week, the message was the breaker through. We looked at Jephthah from Hebrews 11, one of the heroes of faith. He was a son of a prostitute who became a deliverer for Israel, and he was also sent by God. Isn't it wonderful that God can take us, no matter what our background, who our parents are, what we've done, and literally set us free, turn us around, and use us for His glory? This message was about Jephthah, a man who demonstrated faith. Today, the message is about hope. One of the three things that 1 Corinthians says will last forever is hope. He said faith, hope, and love will last from now on, it'll always be. But he also said the greatest of these is love. In Romans, Paul had been speaking about salvation by grace. How many of you are glad you're saved by grace today? Salvation by grace. This is what Paul had been talking about, was being saved by grace. And also about how Abraham was saved by faith. God even declared Abraham to be a father of many nations. And if you look in Romans chapter 4 at verse 17, just a page back, it says, as it is written, speaking of Abraham, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. Now God's been speaking to this church for a while. Amen? And not too many weeks ago, he spoke a prophetic word over this church. And little by little, it's been taking place. How many of you know there's been some fresh visitations from God in this house? And how many of you know there's a landslide getting ready to take place? Raise your hand if you know that. There's a landslide in the Spirit getting ready to take place. Let me say it again. There's a landslide. Hallelujah. And we're expecting every day. God spoke those things in this church, though they haven't happened yet, just as if it was. Who against all hope, speaking of Abraham, who against all hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken so shall thy seed be. When all the odds were against Abraham and Sarah, he believed in hope. He would not give up on the promise of God for a son. And at 100 years old, Sarah gave birth to Israel. I heard some women saying, thank God that's not me. 100 years old. I want you to just imagine that. Against all odds, Abraham hoped for a son, and then 20 years plus later, it happened. Do you believe in hope? Anybody here have hope today? What are you hoping for? What kinds of changes? Or what kind of change is wrapped up in your journey of hope? And I think it's important that you hear that statement as we get into the Word today. What kind of change is wrapped up in your journey of hope? Change. That's a word we don't like to talk about because we're people of habit. We're people of habit, we enjoy the routine. And sometimes we're in a routine and don't even realize it. We get up the same way, do the same thing every morning, don't we? Do the same thing at breakfast, same thing at lunch, same thing at supper. And then before bedtime, we go through the same routine. Some of you here always get you a little bowl of ice cream or a big bowl of ice cream before you go to bed every night. That's routine. Or that sun drop or whatever it is. But we're people of habit and we enjoy routine, and sometimes we don't even know we're in a routine. But what does all this have to do with hope? Has everything to do with hope. First point this morning is this. Without change, some of our hopes will never be realized. You can dream all you want, you can set goals all you want, and you can have all kinds of hopes concerning marriage, family, finances, or whatever. But without change, some of those hopes will never be realized. Ecclesiastes says, there is nothing new under the sun. Now, though this is true, nothing remains the same, does it? There are reoccurrences in history. You know, history really does repeat itself. But yet, nothing remains the same. Only the Lord is the same yesterday and today and forever. Only Jesus is the same. I know there's nothing new under the sun, but nothing stays the same. Romans 5:5 says, hope maketh not ashamed. In the New International Version, it says, hope does not disappoint us. In the New Living Translation, it says, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. In the New Century Version, verse 5, and this hope will never disappoint us. As I began to read and pray and look at this, listen, hope really never does disappoint. It never disappoints. Romans 5:2 says that we have access to Jesus by faith. Is there anybody here that has faith today? Raise your hand if you know you have faith. No matter how great or how small, each of us have faith, and we have access to Jesus by faith. Also, we stand in grace. The Scripture we just read in verse 2 says we stand in grace. And then it says we rejoice in hope. So by faith we have access, we stand in grace, and we rejoice in hope. Romans 1:17 says, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. From faith to faith. Say it with me. Faith to faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See, faith is meant to grow. You know, the Bible teaches, Jesus said, even if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can move mountains. But isn't it amazing that He would say, even if you have mustard seed faith, it needs to grow? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. God, righteousness is revealed from faith to faith. Faith is meant to grow. Our faith does not ever remain the same. Faith is meant to grow. When we stand in faith, have you ever had to stand in faith? Have you ever stood in faith, something you were praying about, or a person you were praying for, or a church situation you were praying over, and you stood in faith? What happens when we stand in faith? That makes us stronger. Causes your faith to grow. for Brother Bracken. How do we get to where hope never disappoints us? Well, there's three words we need to talk about first. Six words, really. One is, it's a journey. See, you and I are on a journey, a spiritual journey. And second thing is, three words again, it's a process. And since we're in an instant society, it's hard to accept having to go through a process. You know, some people are not used to when you get ready to join First Assembly, you need to be here about 3 months approximately, attending fairly regular. Then you go through a membership class before you join the church. Well, that's wisdom. It's a process. You know why? Because that gives people time to hear the preaching, enjoy the worship, get to know people and see if this is really where they want to be. Amen? It's a process that's helped them to know what we expect of them and what they should expect of the church. It's a process that helps us as pastor, my wife and I, be able to share the vision. It's a process. And when we're in an instant society, we don't like a process. Yes, we pray, don't we? Anybody pray? Six people. What about the rest of you? See, we pray, we read scriptures, we go to church, we stretch ourselves by reaching out to others. All the above is true. But works alone will not produce hope. As much as we need workers in this church, as desperately as we do in so many areas, works alone will not produce hope. It just won't do it. Now, this word hope means expectation. It means confidence. It means to anticipate with pleasure. Hope. Hope maketh not ashamed. I think about Abraham and Sarah. At age 75, Abraham received a promise from God that a great nation would come from him. And at that time, God didn't really explain how that was going to happen. In the meantime, Sarah decided to help God out. Anybody ever tried to help God out before? Sarah decided to help God out and said, listen, I know what God said, but listen, take my handmaid Hagar. Abraham, go sleep with her. Sarah wanted to have children by Hagar so she could raise that child. She got ahead of God, trying to fulfill the promise of God her way. Are you with me this morning? She wanted to have children by Hagar since she couldn't have her own. But because of her decision, one, it caused her husband to sin. Also, this destroyed Hagar's relationship with Sarah. And it brought heartache to her and Ishmael, her son. At age 90, God told Abraham, Ishmael will not be the one that I will bring the nations from. Sarah will have a son, and your seed will be multiplied through him. At 90 years old, God said, Ishmael is not the one. How many of you men would like to be told at 90 you're going to be a dad again? If you didn't have gray hair, you get it instantly. And when you tell your wife, she'd probably die and you'd never have another child. He's not the one. And there's a whole lot more through the story. See, Sarah will have a son, and that seed will be multiplied through her and through Abraham. And at 100 years old, Isaac was born. And today, we as Christians enjoy the blessings of Abraham through our relationship with Jesus. Because really now we are spiritual Jews, and we now have right to the covenant that God made to Abraham. Can you say amen to that? My. Sarah tried to help God out. And it was hurt and heartache for people for generations. As a matter of fact, even today. Her decision has affected the Middle East even today. Well, Brother Brackett, it doesn't matter what decision I make. It just affects me and my husband or me and my family. Not so. Our decisions have a domino effect. Come on. Want to admit it or not? Hope. What do you hope for? Some of us sitting here have big hopes concerning our family, our husband, our wife, our finances. We have hope concerning certain things. How long are you willing to wait? Please don't try to help God out. Please don't try to make that thing happen for you prematurely. Seems like the Word says something that in your patience you possess your soul. Well, how do we get to where hope never disappoints? Romans 5:3, if we go back over there this morning, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. We glory in tribulation. If you want to get to where hope never disappoints, you glory in suffering. I didn't hear one shout on that. Thank you, Jesus, I'm suffering. Doesn't it feel good to suffer? You glory in suffering. See, when you enjoy your standing in God, you are able to triumph, not only in the suffering, but because of it. I almost got a shout out of two of you just now. Let me say it again. When you enjoy your standing in God, is there anybody enjoying your relationship with God right now? Are you enjoying the place you are in Him? Then you're able to triumph in the suffering and because of it. I want you to let that sink in. How do you get to where hope never disappoints? That's how. You see, because of the struggle, you cry out to God more. How many of you admit when you're having a hard time, you pray more? Brother, God, I wish I'd have been praying like I should, and this would have never happened. Have you ever said that to God? It may have still happened. See, because of the suffering, you become more determined. Determined to beat whatever it is that's against you. It takes the suffering and it takes the tribulation sometimes for us to get to the place that we make up our mind, dear Lord, I'm not going under, I'm going over. Hallelujah. We don't like the suffering. I don't like the suffering. Amen? Do you? You glory in the suffering because you know that God is faithful and that He'll see you through. Hope never makes a shame. Hope never disappoints. I didn't say that. God's Word says that. Hope says no matter the outcome. No matter the outcome. No matter the outcome, God is faithful. Brother Bracken, I've not always enjoyed the outcome. Neither have I. Doesn't change the faithfulness of God. Alfred, I'm glad you're here, brother. Come through another surgery, hadn't you? Looks pretty good, doesn't he? I know it had to be scary in one sense after having such major surgery to have a lung transplant and then the other lung to have difficulty. Brother, when I prepared this message, I thought about you. If you've not seen the pictures, Judy and Phyllis can show you the pictures of the journey. A lot of suffering, a lot of crying, a lot of praying, a lot of faith, and a lot of hope. And through that journey, Alfred, you didn't enjoy the pain at all. That's one of the things you dreaded this last time, was the pain and the suffering. But listen, God's worked a miracle for Alfred Piner again. He never gave up. He never lost hope. If anything, I've got a feeling, Judy, Phyllis, family, Alfred, if anything, your faith has increased. Because God has proven Himself to be who He said He would be. Hope never disappoints. He still had the surgery, still had to have a new lung, had a surgery on the other lung. Didn't want to do all that. We believed God was going to put the new lungs there, but He did it in a different way. But hope maketh not ashamed. Hope never disappoints. I remember when I went to see the doctor before my colon surgery, and he told me this. I don't think I ever told you. Maybe I did. He said, now, sometimes when people have this surgery and this colon taken out, because of all the infection that's been there, sometimes Their pancreas begins to operate like it should, and diabetes goes away. He said, I'm not going to promise you that that will happen. I even asked him to check again real good when he made the first incision just to see if God hadn't already healed it. My doctor told me, he said, if it's well, if it's not, if it's healed, they'll have to pick me up off the floor. Well, he had to do the surgery last March. But I'm telling you, God has blessed me with no more diabetes. I really expected when he checked it would be well, no surgery. But hope never disappointed me. Hope never disappoints. See, hope doesn't disappoint when your hope is in Christ, when your hope is in Him and who He is and what He's done for you and what He can do. Tribulation. Some of you can say the same thing. We've not enjoyed the pain, not enjoyed the recovery, but hope has never disappointed. Verse 3 says, tribulation works patience. Tribulation changes things. Wonder why some of us are going through so much tribulation? Probably a lot of change needs to take place in your life. Tribulation produces change. Tribulation will change us. Suffering will change us. Endurance, patience, endurance. You know, endurance seems to be lacking in the church today. People get discouraged so easily. Get on a spiritual high and see them for about 3 weeks and don't see them more until the next evangelist comes through. People get discouraged so easily. Some drop out so quickly. Not giving God a chance to grow them and to test them. When their faith is, when there is a demand placed on their faith, when the problem is larger and bigger than life. Anybody had problems bigger than life? Come on, raise your hand. I mean, bigger than life. And when they're bigger than life, that's when we have to dig in our heels. And we have to believe and confess that the Lord is bigger and that the Lord is greater than any problem that we will ever have. No matter what it is. He's bigger and He's greater. It's not a time to leave. It's not a time to quit. It's not a time to throw in the towel. It's not a time to drop out. It's a time to dig in your heels. Say, I'm going to get closer to God. I'm going to believe Him more. I'm going to trust Him until He brings me through. No matter what happens, God is faithful and I'm going to trust Him. And it's so easy to say that, but when you're the one that's getting ready to have the surgery, when you, the doctor told you, you can die, you have to decide who you believe in. Are you with me this morning? Endurance. Some, instead of growing in endurance when what is happening is more than expected, they abandon ship. And they miss what God was getting ready to do next in their life. Am I telling you the truth this morning? So the second point this morning is suffering produces endurance. Patience. You don't really have to pray for it. You just have to live in this world. And you'll be tested with your patience. All you have to do is get married. Where's the newlyweds? If that doesn't work, then have children. Now, there's nothing wrong with grandchildren. How many of you know that? That's the icing on the cake. And we've got plenty of those in our house. Hallelujah. Suffering produces endurance. We learn to trust Him when we have to trust Him. We learn to trust Him when we have to trust Him. If we never have the experiences or situations where we have to trust Him, we'll never trust Him. We can talk about faith and shout all we want to when it's happening to everyone else. But let it happen to you. Never happened to me. That's what I thought. I've had two surgeries since I've been here. Third point, endurance brings you into new experiences with God. Endurance brings you into new experiences with God. That word experience means tests. It means trustiness. It means proof. See, patience, endurance, prove to God that you can be trusted. God needs people He can trust that don't run the other way when the devil knocks at the door. What do you think the testing and trying and the things that's testing your patience and testing your endurance is for? God's getting ready to trust you with something more. You need to let that sink in this morning. We need to let that kind of get inside our spirit. You who've been strong before, who seem to be struggling with being strong now. And sometimes that happens. Struggling with being strong and believing now. Maybe you've been strong in the past, but now you're struggling. I want you to listen to me. It is not that you're so rotten. Anybody ever feel rotten besides me? It's not that you're so undeserving. It's hard because you're in the middle of times of testing and proving. Is it all right if I just tell you the truth today? A time of testing and proving. Since that prophetic word when Brother Leonard was here, God's been blessing, but I'll tell you what. Devil's been messing too. We know what God said. And we're trying to prepare ourselves for what's next. And the devil's trying to stop us from getting there. The best, listen to this, the best is manifested near the end of the proving. Did you get it? The best comes to the surface. The best is manifested near the end of the proving. So if you've been going through the testing and the struggle, it's been hard to endure, but you have. Get ready. You're near the end of the proving. Near the end of the proving, people begin to see the best of God in you coming through. Why don't you just lift His hand, your hand? Come on, lift your hand and thank Him for it today. Lord, I praise You this morning. Lord, we don't enjoy the test. We don't enjoy the struggle. We don't enjoy, Father, the suffering. But we trust in You. And God, we thank You today. Our hope is built on You, Lord. Hallelujah. In James chapter 1, verse 3, says, know this, that the trial of your faith works patience. Lord, I want to become stronger. Do you? Lord, I want my faith to grow. Do you? Are you willing to pay the price for that? Our walk with God, walking in life and walking in power, walking in the ability of God, though He paid for it, it doesn't come easily. Know this, the trial of your faith works patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you might be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. You know what He's saying? Learn to endure. Because if you will learn to endure, keep your hope in Him, you're going to be better than you've ever been. You're going to bring more glory to God than you've ever brought. Endurance. He said, what you need will be supplied. You will lack nothing. Dear Lord, turn to James 1 and 12. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. The only way you're going to get the crown is to endure. Amen? So get hold of Jesus. Change has to come into our lives again and again and again. All through my life, there's been seasons I had wished would stay the same. If that season had stayed the same, I'd never have been here and never met you. Some change I have literally hated to go through, but I had to. Sometimes I think I'd like to go back and start all over again, have the wisdom today that I have today way back then when I was 26. I'd have money. I'd be further along with God than I am today. I'd be a better preacher than I am today. I would have walked in a greater anointing earlier in my life because I've learned some of the keys and I'm still learning. But I can't go back. Change has to keep happening in my life. Change has to keep happening in your life as well. Some change we will not enjoy at the moment. But Brother Bracken, we've always done it this way. Our way gets in the way of His way sometimes. How can you encourage others if you don't know how to encourage yourself? You and I have to learn to get up and build ourselves up and encourage ourselves. We have to learn to pray for me, myself, and I. Don't we? And we have to learn to encourage ourselves so we can encourage others. We cry and we beg God to get us out of the fire. Lord, I just came out of one. I don't want to go in this one. I know how you feel. We cry and ask Him to get us out of the fire. The three Hebrew children said, throw us in the fire. Really? Three Hebrew children said, our God's able to deliver us, and even if He does not, we will not bow to you or to your gods. Hope did not disappoint them. Hope brought them out. Hope did not keep them out of the fire. We want God to keep us out of all the fire, all the trouble, all the pain, all the suffering. If He didn't keep them out of the fire, what makes you think He'll keep you out of the fire? And I know this is not popular teaching in some circles or preaching, but we need to be realistic about what the Word says. Jesus said, if you don't suffer with Me, you're not going to reign with Me. We don't like to talk about the suffering. And there is such a thing as suffering for Christ and suffering because we're a Christian. If we are a real light in our community, some people are going to love you to death and others are going to hate and wish they could put you to death. It's just the way it is. Hope brought them out. It didn't keep them from the fire. Number four, experience produces hope. This kind of hope never disappoints. We as a people in America have become spoiled. We want everything new and exciting that's coming out. I just can't believe people spend hundreds of dollars for a phone and not too long after the new phone comes out and they have to have it and spend another few hundred dollars. That sure would have been a blessing in the offering. We want the new gadgets, don't we? TVs are becoming thinner and thinner, clearer and clearer. Some of us dream about when we get that LED. My life will be complete when I get that LED. But even as Christians, we've become spoiled. We're always, and I believe, and there's got to be a balance in what we preach. The powerful, positive truths, we're always seeking the powerful, positive truths that always have us on a high spiritually. That's what we pursue. Now, I appreciate the men and women of God on TV, radio, on internet that are blessing the body of Christ and bringing people into the kingdom. But when a man or a woman preaches and teaches the word where God has called them, they don't have a thing on us, on me, on them. Being in God's place at the right time with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, whether it's on television, internet, or not, it does not matter. What matters is we pursue Him. See, very little is mentioned of the cost of discipleship. A real disciple is going to discipline themselves and pay a price to become like Jesus. Very little mention is made about what causes a believer to grow, along with the Word and prayer and confession. But there's other things that cause you to grow. Tribulation. You wanted to know. I thought you did. I always heard inquiring minds want to know. How do you get to where hope never disappoints? Tribulation, patience, endurance, the good and the difficult, or even bad experiences will grow you to the place where hope never disappoints. Hope never disappoints because, and I'm getting close to an end, and Romans 5:5, hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Write these keys down as we draw to a close. One, God's love fills the heart of the believer. In 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Then you go to 18. There is no fear in love. How many of you are glad for that? But perfect love casts out fear, because fear brings torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. That's why we love him. That's how we know his love. When you have accepted God's love by accepting Jesus, fear is overcome. Because His love's been shed abroad in your heart, because His love is inside of you by the Spirit, He says, hope never disappoints. Secondly, the believer stands in the grace of God. Grace, of course, we all know, unmerited favor. Doesn't it feel good to have His favor? Favor we don't deserve. His blood makes us worthy. But that word grace, and you've heard me preach it for years here, God's grace also means God's willingness to use His power and His ability on our behalf. So the second thing is, you stand in God's favor and you stand in God's power. Doesn't it feel good to stand in God's favor? Doesn't it feel good to stand in His power? That's because Christ is in us. That's why we hope never disappoints. And then thirdly, verse 2, you rejoice in hope because of the blessings of God. I'm blessed. Anybody else? I'm blessed the most. Who's right behind me? Anybody think you're ahead of me? Don't think so. Hope never disappoints. You rejoice in hope because of the blessings of God. God has blessed me. God has blessed you. But Brother Bracken, you don't know what I've been going through. Listen, you're in the proving time. You're in the testing time. Come on. God's wanting to trust you. As we trust Him, as we grow in faith, and as we develop a hope that never disappoints, then God says, now I can trust you to take my word. Now I can trust you to witness to your neighbor. Now I can trust you to preach that gospel. Now I can trust you to whatever it is. Oh, we'll fail and we'll come short. But because you're changing, you get to where you just don't fall short like you used to. So, hope never disappoints. And I close by saying, God never disappoints. I've not liked some of the process. Sometimes I've not even not liked the outcome of some things. But hope has never disappointed me. God has never disappointed me. He knows all things. And as a believer, if you and I really believe His Word, all things work together, what? For good to those who love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. And if you've been called to salvation, you've accepted Christ as Savior, you've been called according to His purpose. And if God's speaking to you today and you've not accepted Christ as your Savior, God is calling you to Him because He has a purpose and He has a plan for your life. He's a mighty God. How many of you know He's a mighty God? Can you trust Him today? Will you trust Him today? Will you stand as they come? Can you trust Him? Will you trust Him? He's wonderful. He's awesome. He cares about you. What have you been hoping for? How long are you willing to wait? Are you willing to believe until it happens? Are you willing to endure when it's hard? Life is hard sometimes. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is definitely hard. The way the person that lives in sin and transgresses against God, their way is really hard. And sometimes the way of the believer is hard, as far as if you're really going to live for the Lord, there's going to be some hard knocks. There's going to be some punches. Amen? And you and I are going to have to endure. But listen, we have someone that helps us endure. His name is Jesus. And the more you and I allow Him to work in our life, and the more we lay everything at His feet and trust Him with that, the more God's going to be able to use us. Hope maketh not ashamed. What are you hoping for? What are you believing for? What have you been asking God for? And you've been through the fire, and some of you are still in the fire, and you wonder how long. I don't know how long. He knows. Maybe today that you'll come out of the fire. I don't know. But I know one thing. God is faithful. You can trust Him and you can endure whatever it is. You can make it through. Are you willing to do that? You believe you can endure? I know you can. All you have to do is trust Him and expect it to happen until it does. What if it's a week? What if it's a year? What if it's 20 plus years you've been waiting and hoping? Don't try to help God out. If anybody can relate to that, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Here today and you say, Brother Bracken, I understand what you're talking about. And Lord, I intend to endure with His help. I want you to join me right here at the front. We're going to pray a prayer over this congregation today for God's help, God's grace, God's power. Will you come and join me right now?